is Troy.
Happy New Year! 2020's gone. It's out of here. Fresh year, fresh slate, fresh start. I'm Sonia, or OMG, it's Firefox. We are kicking off 2021 with a new episode of Good Game, Nice Try. I'm joined by my co-host, Aaron. Hello.
New Year, same me. That's right. I'm excited because, look, New Year means a fresh round of video game releases. That's really all I have to live for.
Right.
So, yeah, I have nothing else except for new video games. What's coming out in 2021 that you're looking forward to?
I think the one thing that is on my docket, it's been in my sights for a minute, I actually just played in 2020, I played Horizon Zero Dawn for the first time. And the new one, Horizon Forbidden West.
There's nothing I wouldn't do to save this world. But whatever comes, I will be ready.
2021, baby.
Horizon Zero Dawn, I shit on for a long time. I was like, robot dinosaurs, what's geek?
And then I played it.
And it was awesome.
Right?
It's really awesome. Really awesome. Super fun. I got like obsessed with like guides and reading about the story, and I was crazily obsessed. Horizon Zero Dawn Forbidden West. I'm looking forward to it, but any game with forbidden in the title I think is silly.
What?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't do forbidden stuff.
Is there any other ones? Yeah. What's like really, soured that name for you?
Because there is an old movie, Lambada, The Forbidden Dance.
The Forbidden Dance is Lambada.
Lambada came out around the Dirty Dancing time, but it was like, the sexy Forbidden Dance. So now anytime, so you say to me, Horizon Zero Dawn, Forbidden West, I think Horizon Zero Dawn, Forbidden Dance.
But isn't that even for the better? Doesn't that not sully the name, but improve it?
I would love to see that in Horizon Zero Dawn, but I can't take it seriously until I play it. So now I'm going to hate on Horizon Zero Dawn Forbidden West, Forbidden Dance, until I play it. So I'm right back to square one with hating Horizon Zero Dawn.
Well, we're going to have to continue the cycle. You're going to have to play it, get into it, get way too into it, and then maybe we'll lift the curse on the forbidden name for you.
Time's a flat circle. You know what I'm saying? I think that here's what I'm looking forward to in 2021. The game I'm looking forward to the most. You want to know?
Not really.
Okay, we'll forget it then.
Let's move on. All right, this is a great podcast.
We've got a...
No, what do you got? What do you got?
How about this? The Google Sheets update, okay? I'm a Google Sheet simulator. Mm. It's where you get to play as a person using Microsoft Excel Google Sheets.
I'm kind of into it. What is the Clippy, Clippy, the little paperclip Microsoft Word? What's like the...
You don't need to explain. Listen. Clippy, the Microsoft paperclip, to me. Look at this tattoo.
My God, Clippy. Wow.
All joking aside, I would like to see a game where you play as Clippy.
Aw.
What do you think about this? Okay, you play as Clippy.
Yes.
All right? And you are trying to get your user an A on their term paper.
But like you're also so annoying and they really hate you. So you're trying to be the sweetest paperclip and like your annoying meter keeps going up.
Yes.
And it's like they need to get the paper done, but you're...
Exactly. Yeah, and you know what? You have to fight the AOL Instant Messenger yellow guy. the little yellow guy. That's like you're also battling the AOL dude.
Can we just make like a Super Smash equivalent, but it's Bonsai Buddy, Clippy, and the AOL running guy, and anyone else, any other logo? The MSN butterfly is in there reason.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like an internet 1.0 brawler.
Yeah, Internet 1.0 Brawler. I love this game. Somebody out there make this game.
Oh,
this
my
is,
God.
Wouldn't that be fantastic?
I'm going to make this game.
You make it. Yeah, do it. It'd be incredible. A Internet 1.0 Super Smash Bros. Brawler. I would love that. That would be amazing.
I would eat that up. That sounds so badass.
I'll tell you what else is badass. How's this for a pivot?
Ooh, love this.
Our guest today.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it.
Look at that pivot.
A clean segue. We've got a badass guest. We sat down with gamer and streamer Atomic Mari, I love her to death. She's a host on YouTube Smosh Games. She's a streamer. Real life, literal Lara Croft, basically. Yeah. She has a new action short film called Coyote Sunset, and it is genuinely so cool. I caught the premiere of it. It's just so badass. Please just go check it out on YouTube. And here's our interview with the one and only Atomic Mari. I am unbelievably excited. Somebody who I have admired personally for a long time. Mari, I'm so happy to talk to you today.
Yay!
How are you doing? Oh,
thank you so much for having me. And thank you for that intro, Sana. You know how much I absolutely just lean on you in being in this industry. And I just enjoy your company. And, you know, we've known each other for a long time. So I'm very, very happy to be here with both Yay. You and Aaron. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Mari. How did you originally get into video games? You started in ballet.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
So I got into ballet because my mom is a ballet teacher. She was a prima ballerina. So I was just a studio brat from the time I was born. So at 2.5, I got into ballet classes. Video games, all 90s kids, I feel like, you know, video games are just kind of there. It wasn't really like a lifestyle. It wasn't, you know, something that was so part of your life and ingrained the way that we see it today. It was just kind of like when you're done with your homework and all your chores are done, you get to play a little bit of video games. Right. And that was the lifestyle. My brother is 9 years older than I am. So, you know, we had a Famicom. We had an Atari. I don't know what other consoles we had. And I don't really remember playing on the Atari. I remember stealing the E.T. game. Oh. And just having the cartridge and never really like putting two and two together that the cartridge does anything. I think I just figured, like, I liked E.T. I liked the movie.
How do I play this? How do I play? What do I?
Yeah, no, I don't think I realized that you put it into something and then it is something that you play. If anything, I would have probably been very disenchanted playing the game. So
I think it's better not put into anything, frankly,
yeah.
just as a cartridge.
Save yourself from that. It's
okay. Yeah. I might have been turned off of video games for the rest of my life if I had. So win-win situation. But yeah, I remember having that cartridge and just kind of like tucking it away and stealing it from him all the time.
That's hilarious. But
the first console that felt like my console was the Genesis.
Yeah.
Genesis done.
16-bit arcade graphics.
You can't do this on Nintendo. Genesis done.
And it wasn't bought for me. We just had it because, you know, it was one of the consoles that my brother wanted. But my best friend was my neighbor, Nick, and he was like they were a Nintendo family. He had the SNES. I had the Genesis, and the console wars began in my life, man.
Love that. I know. That is an interesting. Yeah, it is so funny how older siblings can, it's amazing how much they influence us. It's crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just want to be like them, you know? And like before you know it, you're just embodying the things that they enjoy. I remember getting into reggae in 3rd or 4th grade.
Like all ballerinas.
Yeah,
it goes hand in hand.
It goes hand in hand. Yeah, my brother was super into Bob Marley and Peter Tosh. Like, I so wanted to just be in his world. And so,
I love that, though. Was there stuff that he was playing that you were like kind of peeking in? You're like, I gotta jump in on that. I gotta play that.
I don't remember playing with him. I very much remember playing with my neighbor, though. Like that was what we did and had fantastic times. And it's one of my like fondest memories of childhood. Just playing our Sega and our SNES.
That competition. Here's a question. I don't really know the world of ballet. Is there a lot of like competition in ballet that then the fires were stoked for then to play video games or no?
You know, I never really like made that connection when I thought about competition, but like, yeah, ballet is incredibly competitive. Even if you're not in the competitive scene, even if you're not, you know, dancing for competition specifically, which I was, it's still you're constantly up against comparing yourself to yourself and like how you're developing, because the entire culture is revolving around a mirror and just looking back at yourself and checking the entire time if you are, you know, up to the confines, like up to standards within the confines of ballet, which are so, so narrow. Yeah. And so, yeah, you're up against yourself. And then as I grew older, you know, thinking about ballet as a career, because that was always the destiny for me, is to be in ballet as a career. It's constantly looking around yourself and seeing that there are, you know, 99% of the class looks like you with your body type, your height, your abilities, and there's one role for the prima ballerina. And so it kind of gets in your head of like, how do I separate myself? And it's not about separating yourself from, you know, personality and charisma. It's like, it's just skill.
Right.
Yeah. And so that sort of competitive nature was just ingrained in me from the very beginning. And, you know, it's a tumultuous ride. I won't romanticize it and say that it's great. If anything, I've had to kind of undo a lot of that and melt a lot of my walls that were built up from those times. And funny enough, I think being in gaming has really done that for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's some tough competition. That's a lot. And honestly, I've heard that, you know, word on the street is you've been a tough competitor in gaming potentially as well. Perhaps at a Blockbuster.
Oh my God.
There's a lot of tough competition out there, and I heard that you.
I forget why you know this.
That you really brought it in third grade.
So it was third grade. It was at a Blockbuster, and it was at the local Blockbuster, and it was just this like, oh, come in on a Saturday and play Mortal Kombat against anyone who's there, and it was just this very, very, I don't know, unimportant tournament. But my friend Nick and I
into the pit. That's some scary stuff.
Yeah, I won the tournament and got this cute little like Blockbuster certificate, and I was so proud. Just like, this is my crowning achievement.
What was your character in Mortal Kombat? Do you remember that you won
Scorpion.
With?
100%. So just so cheap. And
love
and I will
that.
I will say I was gloating with the fact that I you know, one with just doing harpoon and uppercut over and over and over again.
Love it.
Get over here!
Tried and true. Tried and true.
That's all you need.
So you've mentioned being into horror movies. What are your thoughts on horror games versus horror movies?
Well, it's with the whole like horror thing, it's weird because I was super into it when I was a kid. Nick and I, he was the Jason guy, I was the Freddy guy. Like we started a horror group elementary school.
Yes.
Like it was kind of like bananas. Amazing. I'm not really sure why our parents were like, don't rent these movies. They're not for you.
Super gory.
They're like, hey, you're out of trouble. You're Jacob.
Mine were the same way, by the way. They didn't care.
But as I grew older, like I got really scared of horror movies. I don't do horror movies anymore. Like Sixth Sense and The Shining effed me up, dude. Because my brain couldn't comprehend just like people not just hacking and slashing. Horrifying. My brain was like, what do you mean they were ghosts? And also, what do you mean that there's like psychopaths? Like, this is scary. This is too real life. Like, I can't control these things. I'm okay with people just like healing.
Right. Me too. Yeah. I don't, the gory stuff doesn't bother me, but like The Shining, the twins is like, it's so scary.
Come and play with us.
You know the scene where like you can peer in and there's like two men like in like the dog costumes?
Yeah.
My kid brain couldn't understand what that was. I just knew that I hated it. I'm like, I hate it here. I don't know what that is, and I don't want to know what it is, but it makes me feel gross.
Thanks, I hate it.
Yeah, and I was like, that's it for horror movies. Like, I'm dreaming about that, not knowing what it is, and I hate it.
Ugh, what about horror games? Like, were you okay with them early on, or has it always been like a...
I've played a lot of these. I don't know why... It feels like a roller coaster, right? Where you're just like, you're done and you're like, oh my God, I'm sweating. Yeah. I don't know if I want to do that again. I feel sick and it was a lot for my heart to handle.
That's the worst.
But some weird part of me is like, all right, yeah, let's do it again.
I want a little more.
I don't know what it is. One of the few horror games that I played through is Outlast.
Oof.
And that was just... I felt so neutered not being able to fight back,
right.
You know, like you would just have to hide and just let the big man like walk past you. Super
worst.
Scary.
The
it's
worst.
It's in an insane asylum.
Maybe Father Martin's man.
Maybe I would like to kill him.
Everything looks creepy. Like a locker looks creepy.
It's terrifying.
Paper on the floor looks creepy.
I remember my first playthrough through Outlast, I actually started my channel on horror games. I did Outlast and Amnesia. And going through Outlast, not only do I want to say that I love horror games and I want to get, I have a similar reaction where I'm like, I don't want to be here. No, thank you. Don't like this. But also like, kind of want a little bit more. But I'm also god awful at puzzle games. So when I'm panicked
that's
and trying to
horror.
Figure
yeah.
out, that's the real horror for me. Uh-huh. Can't do it. I can't do it.
There's a level at which it's scary, it's scary, it's scary. And then it's like, this is ridiculous. Okay, what are we doing? That's why didn't anybody clean this hallway up? This hallway's filthy. You know, like so it's a line there. Like with Outlast, I was scared to a point that I was like, okay, what? This is, who's going to leave this out here like this? Somebody close this door. You know, like
who's
that
taking
kind of
care
stuff.
Of this?
Right.
I know you've been playing Resident Evil 7, right?
Yeah, it's the word. I absolutely hate it.
You have like a palate cleansing game though, right? Like afterwards you said that you play Resident Evil 7 and then you're like, oof, okay. And then you evolve yourself into the world of Horizon Zero Dawn. Mari, do you have something similar too? Like, do you have something that's like I've played a lot of, you know, I've really dipped into this too hard. Friday the 13th, not feeling it. Brains all over the place. I'm gonna take a vacation in Animal Crossing for a little bit. Do you ever have that?
Yeah, it's usually any open world game that I'm into.
Yeah.
And so Witcher 3 was that for a very long time.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
I'm still working through the expansion pack, more so because like I don't want it to end.
Yeah,
like, I just,
aww.
Yeah,
I'm like I just want to continuously be able to come back to it. But yeah, anything open world that allows me to disconnect from what this reality looks like,
yeah.
you know, and whatever the reality of that scary game looked like. And it doesn't always have to be fantastical, you know. Like I think I played so much Black Flag as well. Because I kept playing it because I would go to sleep and dream about the Caribbean. Like I would just dream about like beaches and beautiful, colored water and stuff like that. And I'm like, whoa, what is this visualization tool? I'm into it.
Like, I'm okay with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why Horizon Zero Dawn is so great. Like I will just do things in there that I just like want to do in real life. I'll just like spend 20 minutes just like seeing if I can get to like a peak of a mountain. But it's funny because you have actually, you climbed Kilimanjaro, right?
Yeah.
That's it. You are living an open world game and you travel all the time. You are like doing it, right?
You're in Breath of the Wild.
You're
literally.
You are
oh,
the
man,
breath.
I wish I had a glider, dude. Can you imagine? Just like,
you could.
By LA
that's
traffic.
Next.
See ya. It's so cheesy. It's so freaking cheesy. But I know for a fact that I did adventurous things and started doing adventurous things because of Lara Croft.
That's awesome.
Because of that life.
I don't think
like,
that's cheesy.
so damn cheesy.
Why?
No, that's awesome.
People are inspired by fictional characters all the time. There's literally that's not cheesy at all. I disagree. But what is there going on that thing? What is something, if you fashion yourself a Lara Croft, what's something you still want to do that's like on the bucket list that you haven't done yet?
Well, I think, you know, I haven't gotten there yet emotionally to do it again, but I want to ice climb again because the last time I ice climbed, it was my fourth mountain, I want to say.
Damn, girl, jeez.
I had quite a bad fall.
Oh.
And this was back in 2010 in Brazil, in the Cordillera Blanca. And like, it could have been life-threatening. It was not. Me and my very good friend that I would do these high-altitude climbing with, she and I were tethered together. We were like a three-man rope team, us and our guide, and we slipped and fell on this glacier. It was really not good conditions, and we were warned about the conditions, but the week prior was really, really bad, and another climbing group had an accident. And so, you know, we were weighing whether or not to go or not, but like, man, the ice was so slick, and it was my ice pick that failed. And so I could just see like it coming apart, and then all three of us just went down, and we slid for about 150 feet, almost going into a crevasse. So close to going into a crevasse, and luckily we didn't. But yeah, I still have a lot of like, I can't say it's trauma, but like I still am very scared of the situation and scared of going back into it. Funny enough, I think it was the second installment of the new Tomb Raider series. It starts with her slipping and sliding on Glacier.
Jonah, we made it. I see the ruins. Oh, God.
And it was too much. Like, I had to turn it off. I was like, oh, my gosh. Whoa, is this like PTSD or something? I'm like, I don't know what it is. But, like, my heart was going. I was sweating. Like, I couldn't handle how visceral it looked like, because I just felt it in my bones, man. So, but yeah, I think that's on the bucket list. I think if I can get there again of being confident enough to take on another ice climbing mission, I would love to.
That is a wild story. We're glad you're all right.
Yeah.
You are Lara Croft, basically.
Literally.
Without the smarts, man. I can't remember like dates in history.
Who needs it?
I can't do that.
Who needs it?
All right. Well, we love to, every episode, talk about our guest's best game and worst game. All right. So, Mari, worst game for you. The worst game.
Okay. This is the worst game for me because I really, I loved it. And I want to continue loving it. Uh-oh. It's painful for me.
Was it the Atari cartridge? Was that it? I don't want to spoil anything, but
my turbulent relationship with the ET cartridge. No, but the game is Destiny.
Oh,
and it's because I love Destiny. It is the game that actually turned me on to FPS games for the first time. Like I just didn't like FPS games at all. Like I'd be like, this isn't for me. It's just too much. It's like, it's too much anxiety. There's too much like, I don't know, responsibility in what I'm doing.
I feel too responsible.
I do. It's like if I screw this up and I have a gun in my hands and I have to kill the aliens, you know, it's like, but Destiny was really the first one that I was like, you know what? I can get behind this. I like the grindiness of it. You know, some of it is mundane and I like that, in the same way that like Animal Crossing can be mundane and I like that.
Yeah.
It's just the fact that with every update, like it's just like shell out another X amount of dollars for what should be a brand new game.
Right.
But you're still doing missions on the moon. And why are we still going back to the moon? And you know, I think it's personal for me because I just remember like I had this whole like graph of how to get the Solstice armor. And it was like this tiring farmy, like really grindy journey to get my Solstice armor. And then like in a matter of days, it's the next update and my armor is just obsolete. Like it's just, it's trash. Like nobody wants it. Like it's just like it's a relic of the time. And it's just a mark of last chapter. And I'm like,
heartbreaker.
All my work.
Heartbreaker.
Yeah, all my work.
That's true. Yeah.
That does suck.
But at the same time, like I say that it's like my least favorite, but at the same time, I want it to be my favorite. You know what I mean? Like it's heartbreaking.
You want to love it, but it did you dirty.
It did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dirty Destiny.
But at the same time, like I still go back to it.
Sure.
Like I got the last one. They're bringing the Leviathan raid back and stuff like that. So like I said, I'm still excited about it. I'm still like a fan. I'm just like, just don't disappoint me, Destiny.
All right, well, what about, so let's go best. Let's go best. Let's end on a high note.
This is a hard question.
Yeah.
This is a hard question because it's like, there's games that mean something to you, you know, there's nostalgia attached to it. And then there's games where it's just like, oh, this is a good game.
There's a lot of factors.
Oh, there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of categories for best.
It's tough.
But you know, I think for me, I'm going to have to go with Minecraft.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow. I don't think anybody has said Minecraft yet.
Not yet. I love that though.
Yes. Yeah. And it's like for me, like I'm such a, I don't know, like visual person where like I want my games to look beautiful and like Sonya, we've been kind of talking about Ghost of Tsushima this week and it's like, it's just, you know, like eating fine dining. It's so gorgeous and you can just like not do anything and just look.
Yeah,
and just that's satisfying.
Like anywhere you pause, looks like it could just be like a desktop wallpaper,
wow.
And it's beautiful. Ugh.
Yeah, 99% of that game is just taking photos.
But then like, Minecraft.
Yeah,
but then Minecraft.
But then Minecraft. You know, I think Minecraft for me has been just creatively freeing. I'm so inspired by what people do in the game and. You know, how it is just really just a blank canvas to do whatever you want. And whether it is, you know, a long improvised show that just happens to take place in Minecraft, you know, like Minecraft doesn't have to be the main part of a game. It's just a conduit to show other stories.
Right.
You know, like there's role playing and there's, you know, creators like IS Cupquake and folks who like, who create a whole world in there with like scripts and talking,
yeah.
Like creating stories that way. One community member of mine has created Survivor within the Minecraft world and he gets his subscribers and people in his community to play Survivor, you know? And it's like, it's just a conduit for more things. And I think that, if anything, gaming is beautiful because it brings people together no matter where you know, what walks of life you come from. It's a place where people just can have fun and I don't know. Everything else doesn't matter. It's like, yeah. It's the reason why like Ninja and Drake played together and that became like a whole like big thing, yeah. Right? It's like, it doesn't matter who you are and what you quote unquote do. But if you do enjoy playing something together, it can just turn you back into like being a third grader. Having fun with your neighbor and, yes. You know, playing. Yeah.
It's that connection and that community. And honestly, I, first of all, love your choice because I would definitely agree. Even when I was doing more Minecraft content and we had the whole series, we had Maya Knight, we created a whole story that was scripted in there. And there's just so much you can do with it. But a lot of people, you know, if we went to like, conventions and you know the kids would want to like come say hey, but their parents would be there and they're like, I don't get it. What do you do in Minecraft? And it's hard to explain that it's a sandbox and you can do whatever you want. Like I've tasked myself with building a gigantic castle that took 2 weeks and I built it block by block just because I wanted to, and it was something that I don't know. I tasked myself with something that I wanted to really accomplish. And then we built an entire scripted story in it. We had 2 seasons of this like awesome time of people coming together and just playing with the world and seeing what we came out of it. So there's so much to it that you can pull from and create. And I think it's such a beautiful game.
Yeah, I think we talked about this a lot, but I mean, look, all of us have played so many games in our lives, so many games. And what really, you know, so I'm always on a quest for what is something new. Anytime a game shows me something mm-hmm. new, and I've used The Witness a lot as like one of the most recent examples of a game that like showed me something new. Like, but Minecraft, to your point, Mari, and yours, Sonia, it's like, it's a medium. It's not just a game. Mm-hmm. It's a medium through which we can all express other things, be it comedy, shows, art, physics, when you're building, you know, computer, you know, people are building computers and programming in Minecraft. And
insane.
It's insane. And it's a whole, right. And so I love your choice because it goes beyond, you know, it's like saying like the written word or books or something. And there's Minecraft. It feels like a whole other thing.
Yeah.
It sounds insane, but right. I don't think that's out of line to say.
I would love to know if, you know, the creators and the developers of the game ever imagined the things that people right. have created within the game to ever happen. Like, I don't know. I just love seeing what communities can do and what people can do if they just unleash their own creativity into something. And I love that there's a game and many games out there that allow for something like this.
Mari, thank you so much. This was a blast. Thank you so much. Atomic
thank
Mari,
you
were
thank
a blast.
You.
And please follow Mari on Instagram and Twitter at Atomic Mari, like you need the followers. We thought we'd get the word out there for you.
Oh,
you
know, thank you.
There you go. There
appreciate
you go.
It.
But thank you, Mari. You were awesome.
Thank you. Ooh,
thanks for having me.
Man, she went ice climbing on a glacier. That is amazing. I think the most adventurous thing I've done is eat my own cooking, which, by the way, is pretty adventurous. I've given myself food poisoning 4 times.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, you know, so it is life or death also in my kitchen. All right, so there you go.
Okay, so if you ever offered to cook dinner for me in any situation, I know going in what I'm expecting is what you're saying.
You know somebody's put a hit out on you.
I'm gonna beware. I'm going to keep an eye out for that. Be sure to check out Mari's short film, Coyote Sunset. It's on YouTube. Follow her on Twitch at twitch.tv/AtomicMari. And we'll be back with some more Good Game, Nice Try in just a minute. Stay tuned.
All right, now before we go, we have a fan request. This one comes from Sarah, aka @nerd_heart on Twitter. And Sarah says, at Team Coco's new podcast, Good Game, Nice Try, may already be my favorite. I just like to read out the nice things that people say. I would love to hear them speak about my favorite series, Silent Hill, and what it's done for horror games as a whole.
Ooh,
wow. Silent Hill and what it's done for horror games as a whole. Have you played a lot of Silent Hill?
So I'll say, I don't know if a lot of people actually know this, but my YouTube channel was actually started on horror games. The first games that I ever uploaded were Outlast. I played through Outlast, Amnesia, Machine for Pigs. Like, I went through it.
Wow.
But I've never actually really played a silent... I see Aaron's jaw dropping halfway through this sentence. I've never actually played a Silent Hill game. But I do have a friend who actually has PT on his PlayStation, which is, like, impossible to find if people don't know what PT is. It was kind of like a... What was it? What did it stand for? Like, practice something trial or something?
Yeah, I'm not sure what it stood for, but it was Hideo Kojima was going to take over the Silent Hill franchise with a game called Silent Hills. And before Silent Hills was announced, he put out this game called PT as a teaser game, and it's widely considered, and rightfully so, one of the scariest games ever made. And it's, do you want to explain what it is?
You hit the nail on the head. But I think the biggest thing is that it was actually removed from the PlayStation Store in like 2015 or so. And the only way to get it is to have a console that has already had it downloaded on, because you can't re-download it. So these consoles that have this game on it are, you know, few and far between, even more so now, and valuable, very, very valuable. So yeah, I'm excited that I have at least one friend who has it, and I actually made a point to ask them about it recently, and I'm going to play through it. So that'll be my first Silent Hill-esque experience, and I'm really excited.
It does an amazing job at scaring you a lot with very little. And I think that's something I think the Silent Hill games do very well. So I've played the first two, and I think the thing I like the most about Silent Hill, and again, we talk about this a lot, Sonya, on the podcast, but world building, I think we talk a lot about. It's got great audio design. And I am a huge horror fan. I mean, there was a point at which I'd seen every horror movie at Blockbuster. So I have a pretty high bar for horror. And Silent Hill is really scary because it understands less is more. Less is more. You know, and the idea with Silent Hill is you're going to this town, at least the first one, you're going to this town, you're looking for your daughter, and there's a lot of fog. It's very scary. There's like a radio, like a lot of static and stuff. And the whole thing is just incredibly off-putting. Like, you feel out of your comfort zone right away. And as it gets more and more intense, they do a great job at revealing things kind of slowly, and just building the horror slowly, which I think is what's great about it. So, and I think that that's something that had been missing up to that point in horror video games, is that sense of dread and being, you know, like a slow ramp up into it and really creating a world. Silent Hill was the first, I guess I'll say this, Silent Hill to me is kind of the first horror game that really created this world and this environment where, you know, you are just, you're weak and at a loss for what's going to come out of the fog at you.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'm so excited to jump into it, but I'm thinking of like my experience with playing, you know, Five Nights at Freddy's and stuff like that, where it is kind of more centered around just jump scares and stuff like that. But yeah, I want to experience something that's like the slow burn of being scared shitless, you know?
Totally.
And I feel like, you know, playing through Amnesia, the setting was cool and I felt, you know, it was kind of spooky and it was really spooky, but I'm awful with puzzles. And it honestly just became more frustrating than like an immersive, spooky experience. So I'm in it. I want to play Silent Hill.
Silent Hill does a great job of ratcheting up the horror in a very great way. Great pacing, great world building, great design, great look. You know, Pyramid Head, there's a lot of things that, you know, Silent Hill is known for. And yeah, so I think it was a true landmark in the horror genre. And I'm bummed Silent Hill's never happened. It bums me out. But we got PT, which I'm excited for you to play through. Wear a diaper. That's all I have to say. My baseline is just diaper. Just in case something scares me, then, you know, I'm covered.
That's good. I'm glad that that's a benchmark in your life. You know, at all points, I'm just going to wear a diaper.
Well, you know, you live and you learn, okay? Aww. Some lessons you learn the hard way, and I've learned, in case I get scared, diaper.
Good.
Always.
Thinking ahead.
That's right. Thinking ahead. Well, I think that's going to do it for this episode.
On the note of wearing diapers.
If you have a game you'd like us to review, or you want a game recommendation, or you just want to say, hey, tweet at us with the hashtag GGNT, and if we read your comment on the air, you'll get something free. And Sarah, aka @nerd_heart, you got something coming your way. So very exciting. And I promise it will not be a diaper. It'll be something you actually want. So that's going to do it for this week's episode of Good Game. Nice try. Thank you all for listening. And of course, please don't forget to rate and review our podcast. And subscribe if you haven't already. What's wrong with you? Subscribe, rate, and review so we get to keep doing more of these things. We'll see you guys all next week.
Good Game, Nice Try is produced by Jen Samples and Nick Liao. Our executive producers are Joanna Solitaroff, Adam Sachs, and Jeff Ross. Engineering by Will Becton, with engineering and sound design by Hannes Brown. Music by John Danick.
This has been a Team Coco production.